the Air Force says the pilot of a crashed F-16 did not survive. Icon Aircraft now has financing to move to production. And flight attendants at United Continental have chosen AFA. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, July 1st, 2011. Air Force officials at Nellis Air Force Base in Nevada say search and rescue teams have found conclusive evidence the pilot of an F-16 Fighting Falcon, which went down about 5:30 p.m. local time Tuesday, did not survive. At the time of the accident, the single-seat F-16, which is based at Nellis, was participating in a combat training mission within military airspace managed by the Nevada Test and Training Range. It crashed on Bureau of Land Management property about 20 miles west of Caliente, Nevada. Brigadier General T.J. O'Shaughnessy, the 57th Wing Commander, explained, quote, "Based on evidence recovered from the crash site, and after extensive aerial and ground search efforts, we know the pilot did not eject from the aircraft prior to impact. Our thoughts and prayers are with the pilot's immediate family, Air Force family, and friends during this difficult time," unquote. The Grand Forks Herald identified the pilot as 30-year-old Air Force Captain Eric Ziegler, a 1999 graduate of West Fargo High School in North Dakota. Flight attendants from United, Continental, and Continental Micronesia Airlines elected the Association of Flight Attendants, CWA, to be their union at the new United in results counted Wednesday. The union says the merger brings new opportunities, and the conclusion of this election sets the stage for flight attendants to unify and become full participants in the benefits of the merger. AFA was elected with 55.1% of the vote. A five-person FAA National Kit Evaluation Team recently concluded a two-day visit to Zenith Aircraft Company in Mexico, Missouri. In a letter dated June 24th, Terry Allen, manager of the FAA Product and Airworthiness Division, stated that the evaluation team determined that the kit will allow an amateur builder to meet the 51% requirement to register the aircraft as experimental amateur build. Zenith Aircraft Company uses CNC routers to cut both small and large parts, drilling thousands of pilot holes, and the standard airframe kit is supplied to builders with factory-built wing spars, welded components such as control system parts, and welded aluminum fuel tanks, and is supplied with all the hardware needed to complete the airframe. The aircraft can also be scratch-built from blueprints alone. Monthly workshops are held at the Zenith factory in Missouri to allow prospective builders to gain hands-on kit-building experience, and they offer demo flights in the aircraft. Icon Aircraft says it closed a $25 million round of equity funding in June. The round will fund the company through the completion of its ongoing engineering development program, manufacturing setup, and the beginning of production of its A5 amphibious sport plane. The financing was led by U.S. and U.K. venture investors Satyen Patel and Bart Becht, who have deep expertise in building consumer product companies. Other participating investors in the round include Eric Schmidt, chairman of Google, Phil Condit, former CEO of Boeing, and several top Silicon Valley venture capitalists. Icon will receive $15 million initially, with an option for an additional $10 million. Icon CEO Kirk Hawkins says he's honored, quote, "to have the confidence, support, and enthusiasm of such great investors. That we were able to successfully raise funds in this time of economic uncertainty demonstrates Icon's unique and compelling market appeal," unquote. Icon reports an order backlog of over 500 aircraft totaling $85 million. The company plans a presence at Oshkosh. The 2011-2012 edition of the Aircraft Electronics Association's Pilot's Guide to Avionics will make its debut during EAA AirVenture. It will be available at AEA's booth in Hangar B. AEA says the purpose of its guide is to help pilots make better avionics buying decisions and to assist them in locating repair stations certified by international regulatory authorities as capable of installing and maintaining the equipment. If it encourages patronizing the businesses of AEA members, well, that's okay too. Chapters include information on glass panel retrofits, the latest WAS GPS technology, new products introduced in 2011, a section aimed at experimental builders who are not required to use certified avionics, and one chapter titled Sound Advice on Headset Choices. Up next on ANN, President Obama's bashing of GA continues to draw reaction. Boeing's new Dreamliner tail plant opens in Utah, and the U.S. Marines get a great deal on used Harriers. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, July 1st. I'm Paul Plack. The aviation trade associations have rapidly responded to remarks by President Obama during a news conference Wednesday in which he proposed ending accelerated depreciation for business aircraft and took what many viewed as a swipe at the industry by referring to tax breaks for corporate jet owners. In a joint letter to President Obama, the General Aviation Manufacturers Association and the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers emphasized that while ill-informed criticism of corporate jets in business aviation may appear to some as good politics, the reality is that it hurts one of the leading manufacturing and export industries in the United States. GAMA and the union say this kind of criticism has also led to the layoff of over 20,000 IAM members. GAMA President Pete Bunce observed, quote, "The administration has a laudable goal of doubling U.S. exports in 5 years. How then can President Obama attack a manufacturing sector that exported over 60% of the value of its products in 2010? General aviation manufacturers can help the president meet his export goals, but not if this damaging rhetoric continues," unquote. There were at least 5 times during his speech on Wednesday that President Obama criticized tax breaks for corporate jets. But would ending accelerated depreciation on aircraft really make a difference? Democrats now see elimination of tax breaks and a change to the depreciation schedule for general aviation aircraft as politically attractive. While all the current rhetoric appears to be directed toward corporate jets, any change in the depreciation schedule would also apply to piston aircraft, turboprops, and rotorcraft. Helicopter Association International is urging its members to contact federal lawmakers with the message that removing the accelerated depreciation structure for general aviation aircraft will not have any significant effect on the growing U.S. debt problem. GA contributes over $150 billion to the U.S. economy each year, and general aviation aircraft are an essential part of our transportation system, supporting many small and medium-sized businesses and supporting hundreds of engine, avionics, and component manufacturers, which are also small businesses. HAI notes that the U.S. House of Representatives is in recess this week, and the Senate will be out of town next week. Members of Congress will be in their congressional districts, and face-to-face meetings and phone calls, faxes, and emails to their offices are extremely important at this time. To obtain contact info for your senator, visit www.senate.gov and follow the links. To contact your elected congressman or congresswoman, visit www.house.gov. South Carolina is the focus of a major labor policy battle between Boeing and the Machinists Union, but it's not the only right-to-work state in which workers are contributing to the 787 Dreamliner. Boeing commemorated the opening of a new 787 vertical fin assembly line at its production facility here in Salt Lake City, Utah this week, where workers will build the vertical fin assemblies for Dreamliners built in South Carolina. Production on the new assembly line is slated to begin this month. Utah Governor Gary Herbert symbolically pushed a large button, bringing electric power to the assembly line. Ross Bogue, VP and General Manager of Boeing Fabrication, commented, quote, "With increasing demand for our products and the development of 2 new airplanes, this is an exciting time. Boeing Salt Lake City has a key role in the future success of Boeing commercial airplanes," unquote. The 35,000-square-foot state-of-the-art composite assembly line will help improve the efficiency of the final assembly and delivery process at Boeing's 787 facility in South Carolina. Also important, it's part of a completely separate supply chain for the new South Carolina plant, arranged in part to give Boeing some redundancy in the event unions in the Pacific Northwest shut down production there with strikes. Boeing notes that the International Association of Machinists has struck in 4 of the last 5 contract cycles, costing the company 200 days of lost production. The U.S. Marine Corps says it plans to buy as many as 40 Harrier GR7s and GR9s, but not to fly them. The jump jets are being sought in order to harvest them for parts for the Marine Corps' fleet of AV-8Bs, and some in the UK are reportedly not happy at the purchase price. It seems DOD will reportedly spend about $55 million to acquire the aircraft, but according to the Telegraph newspaper, the UK recently spent $1.6 billion to upgrade and maintain them before decommissioning the fleet. With some defense experts and government watchers bemoaning the fire sale price, analysts say the underlying reason the Corps will need them is delays in the F-35 program. The AV-8Bs will reportedly need to be kept in the air several years longer than originally planned, while flight testing continues on the Joint Strike Fighter. And finally today, when the final calculations were finished at the end of this year's Air Race Classic, that's the all-women transcontinental national air race, a team representing Jacksonville University in Florida emerged as the first university team to take overall top honors in the event. Senior Leah Hetzel and 2010 graduate Sarah Morris beat out the 11 other competing collegiate teams, but also placed first among all 50 teams of female pilots. 43 teams finished the race. Hetzel and Morris discovered they had won at an awards banquet Saturday in Mobile, Alabama. Hetzel will be graduating this summer with her degree in aviation management and flight operations after completing an internship with Delta Airlines. Morris graduated summa cum laude this year, also with a degree in aviation management and flight ops. Congratulations, ladies. That's the latest from Aero News. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.